Good morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order 20 minutes after 9 a.m., April 25th, 2024. Sorry for the delay. We were in a meeting in the Senate President's office, some of us. So today I'm joined by Chairman Hoffman, Chairman Olson, Senator Bishop, Senator Merrick, Senator Keel, Senator Wilson, myself, Stedman. We have two pieces of legislation to consider today. But before we bring up the operating budget, which is House Bill 268, and the mental health budget, House Bill 270, which were reviewed yesterday and amended, we thought we would invite Mr. Alexi Painter, Director of Legislative Finance, for a fiscal update on the amended legislation so the Finance Committee can take a look at the fiscal position of the state awaiting the conclusion of the capital budget and the other body. Mr. Painter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Alexi Painter, legislative fiscal analyst. So I'm going to start by going through the budget as it sits before you in committee and has already passed, starting with FY24, then going to FY25. So for the FY24 budget, up top we have the appropriations from the 2023 legislature for FY24. So the operating budget, capital budget, PFD, and so forth that you passed last year, that totaled just over $6 billion, leaving you with a surplus of $578.1 million based on the spring 2024 revenue forecast. Last year's budget directed that any revenue that came in above the spring 2023 revenue forecast would be split 50-50 between an energy relief appropriation that would go out as part of the FY25 dividend, and then would go into the CBR. This committee in the operating budget converted that split into a hard number going into the energy relief that matches the projected split under the spring, or not to exceed the amount under the spring 2024 forecast. It repealed the amount going into the CBR, but any surplus in FY24 that's remaining on the table would still go to the CBR. So there's not an appropriation to the CBR, but that surplus remaining at the bottom would end up there anyway. So after that $143.3 million going into energy relief, there's $434.8 million remaining. There are $127.9 million of operating supplementals. That includes...
maybe we'll slow down a little bit for those watching at home. We've been immersed in this budget for several months, and the committees can go through it at blistering speed, but I'm sure there's citizens around the state that have not participated in all our meetings. So if we can just slow down a little bit, and then maybe you can explain why the committee decided to go to a hard number for the dividend energy relief versus the calculated amount in the budget.
Mr. Chairman, I guess that's a policy choice to have done that, but it essentially locks in the amount based on the spring forecast. The other body's budget directed the entire amount above the spring forecast to go into the energy relief. So in the conference committee, you'll be able to pick from either anywhere between that $143.3 million to the entire energy relief, which would be up to $1,000 for per person. So the conference committee would have a wide range of choices there. And hardening that number just makes that choice, I think, a little clearer is the idea with that change. But even still, there will be an ability in the conference committee to figure out how much the conference committee would like to go to energy relief out of that appropriation from that additional revenue.
And the estimated energy relief dividend check per citizen, the way the Senate has this budget drafted, is roughly what?
Mr. Chairman, that $143.3 million would be equivalent to about $222 per person based on the projected number of dividend recipients. So that would get added to the amount that goes out for the dividend in FY25. In the Senate's budget, there's 25% of the percent of market value draw going into the dividend. which would pay approximately $1,360. So if you add those two together, you get about $1,580 or so for the estimated PFD and FY25 out of this body's budget.
Okay. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Painter, you talked about a hypothetical, theoretical maximum energy relief check with a house number of 1,000 on top of the PFD. But for that to happen, what would the oil price have to be for the rest of this year?
Mr. Senator Keel, I'm not sure what it'd have to be for the rest of the year. Based on prices now, we would, as of a week ago when I last looked at this, we'd be estimating that the value of that appropriation, the total would be about $400 million. It would take $636 million to get up to that full $1,000 amount. So you'd have to get prices well over $90 to get there, probably over $100. So it's unlikely you'd hit that ceiling. But based on where prices are now, we'd probably expect it to be a bit above what was in the forecast. Although I'd note that sometimes when we look at revenue and just in terms of oil prices and oil production, there's payment timing issues and so forth that makes it difficult to exactly guess the amount of revenue. So there is a substantial margin of error on those estimates.
Thank you.
And if we were to adopt that or reduce the operating expenditures to make up for that $400 million shortfall, that would be another option?
Mr. Chairman, to some extent, yes, although so basically, if we go down the supplementals that this committee and the full body have adopted, there's $113.9 million remaining as a surplus in FY24. So if there's nothing added, that whole 113 could be potentially moved over into energy relief or something else in conference committee. Going beyond that level would require, reducing some of those appropriations either in the operating or capital supplementals. So then moving on to FY25, so the committee substitute for the operating bill, HB 268 and HB 270, combined that's agency operations of $4,607.6 million. The statewide items, which are debt service, retirement payments, things like that don't fit into agencies, are $454.6 million. PFD is $914.3 million. As I mentioned earlier, that is 25% of the percent of market value from the permanent fund. I'm adding fund transfers up here just to make the math easier. This committee has $4.3 million of fund transfers. We count those usually below the line, so we'd have two surplus lines. For simplicity, I'm just putting them above the line, but technically we would have pre- and post-transfer surpluses. This body passed a UGF capital budget in FY25 of $255.9 million, and then HB 270 includes a mental health capital appropriations of $15.1 million. Altogether, for FY25, this committee and this body's budget totals $6,251.7 million. That leaves a surplus of $196.8 million at this point. There's things that aren't yet accounted for, which we'll get to in the next slide, but based on just the appropriations you've made so far, there's nearly $200 million remaining. So on slide four, we get to what don't we have yet? So the first is fiscal notes. Those are typically added by the conference committee. They'll become section two of the operating bill, where section one is regular operating appropriations, section two are fiscal notes. Those are appropriations for to pay the cost of legislation that may pass one or both bodies, or may pass both bodies. There's one bill with a substantial fiscal note that's already been signed by the governor that's not in either budget, so that'll be added as a fiscal note to fund that. That's House Bill 193, the broadband bill. The fiscal note for that bill is $39.4 million. That's not yet reflected in the operating budget. There's another bill with a substantial fiscal note that appears likely to pass. It's already passed this body. That's an extension of the senior benefits program. The fiscal note for that is $23.5 million. Then there are a number of bills that have passed one or both bodies, or one body, but not the other. Adding up all of those UGF fiscal notes would be $14.5 million. It's unclear, of course, which of those bills may pass. As we get closer to the finish line, it'll be easier to see which bills have a chance of passing and how many will get incorporated in the fiscal note packet. There also may be bills that have not yet passed one body, but will get incorporated into another bill or otherwise pass. So that's a really fluid number. 14.5 is just a point in time, but just to have some sort of placeholder, we're assigning 14.5 right now for potential UGF fiscal notes. My guess is that at the end of the session, it'll be a little bit higher than that. So that's $77.4 million from fiscal notes based on kind of what we see as of a week ago or so. Another thing that's not in yet is salary adjustments. There's four unions that are currently negotiating while the statutory deadline for those contracts has passed. It's quite common for those to come very late. And at this point, it's too late to be added by this committee's budget, but they could be added on the Senate floor. They could be added by conference committee. That's also been done before. So those four unions that are currently negotiating are the supervisory unit, correctional officers, labor trades and crafts, and then there's a new University of Alaska graduate student union. In addition, there is a statutory tie between the supervisory unit and the exempt employees, where exempt employees are supposed to have their salaries increased along with supervisory unit to ensure no disparities. So that would increase the potential impact of that that contract. So just kind of a rough number, if those three non-university unions agreed to a 5% increase, we would estimate the UGF cost would be $26 million. That includes the impact on the exempt employees. It may be higher even at 5% because there's also some non-UGF sources that may not be realizable in amounts beyond what's already in the budget for them. Oftentimes, when OMB submits the salaries, the salary adjustments, they change some fund sources and then the legislature changes others to general funds just to make sure we don't have hollow receipts. And then, of course, we don't know that they'll be at 5%, and we don't know what the graduate students might come out with. So the $26 million I would definitely take as a floor if we get those three contracts in. The next item that has not yet been accounted for is that the capital budget this body passed did not have any additions from the House. So if we assume that they add $100 million, the total of all of these items would be potential additions of just over $200 million, 203.4 additional items that are not yet reflected in the bills in front of you. So we're going to return to that.
Now we're going to get to the net.
So now we get to where that $200 million surplus you had before goes. So we had $196.8 million left. Those potential additions total 203.4. So you're down to remaining surplus of negative 6.6, which I suppose would be a deficit. I forgot to change that line. So you're $6.6 million over in FY25 based on all those placeholders. Again, there's a lot of placeholders in there for future items. So not entirely sure if 6.6 is where you'll end up, but that's where we project right now.
And I'll project that we'll end up at zero through the conference committee, sure, or a positive number. So that's very close to net zero when you're at 6.2 billion. So we're on target and on time.
And Mr. Chairman, this combines the two FY24 and 25 together. So you can see there's 113.9 surplus remaining in FY24 and then short 6.6. So that $6.6 million could be solved by as much as the House moving part of their $100 million of capital additions into the supplemental. That would resolve the issue because overall across the 2 years, you still have over $100 million extra. If that FY24 amount ends up unspent, that would just go into the CBR, kind of restoring part of that original waterfall intent. If not, it would be available. It could be spent on some other item as the negotiations continue. So this body at this point does have a bit over $100 million total, even beyond those placeholders for potential negotiation or additional items.
So could you remind the committee what our supplemental budget adjustments were since January when we showed up till through today, roughly?
Mr. Chairman, yes, we've added $320.9 million of unrestricted general funds to the supplemental. A lot of those were in the capital budget where a lot of the Senate additions.
Let's stop there. Let me refine my question. For operating agencies, fire suppression, overruns of expenditures, inadvertent, misses and projections, can you give the committee a ballpark number how far off or what the supplemental adjustments to this current year's budget was in the operating side?
Mr. Chairman, yes. So that's this number back on slide 2, $127.9 million. The majority of that is from fire suppression. The next largest item was the Department of Corrections.
So the point I want to make for those watching at home, we had additional billings to the committee of $130 million or so that we had to deal with. We need to be somewhat prepared to have supplemental requests come to us next January. So it's in our interest, I think, to have a little bit of cushion on the table, if at all possible, for those upcoming bills. That's the point I was trying to make. So the ones that want to spend everything in sight can remember that they got to look forward to next year's supplementals.
And, Mr. Chairman, one thing I would note about this committee's operating budget is that if there were significant steps made to potentially reduce the amount of planned supplementals through adding additional funds to fire suppression, the disaster relief fund, $50 million combined for those above the governor's numbers, and then adopting, I think, about $40 million of additions in the Department of Corrections, most of those requested by the governor to try to offset potential supplementals there. So this, a lot of the additions you see where the budget looks like it's a lot higher in 25 than 24, a lot of that is adding money to try to avoid supplementals. Not to say we will succeed in that, but at least build in less structural supplementals. And then going to slide 7. So this is where the other body is at this point. So the other body's budget has a slightly smaller operating budget in FY25. But it has a larger PFD, so $1.1 billion instead of $914 million. Their placeholder for additional items in FY25 is a little bit different than yours because some of the items that they don't have are in your budget. For example, there were governor's amendments that were submitted after their operating budget concluded, as well as one of the items that this body has is funding for the Department of Education's maintenance of equity requirement. The other body didn't have that. So if that's, one of the items that needs to be added, it's only in your side. So they have a bit of a higher placeholder. In FY24, they have additional money going to the energy relief. So there's, as I mentioned, both sides, halves of the waterfall are now going into energy relief in their budget. They also have a fixed $116.5 million going in appropriation for energy relief. So if you look at where the other body is with the Senate capital budget in FY24, they're $165.1 million under. And then in FY25, if you add one of those placeholders is for their additions to the capital budget in that line, and then you add the Senate capital budget, the other body ends up $103.6 million short. So combined across the 2 years, something in the neighborhood of $270 million short that they'll have to figure out through conference or the capital budget.
So you're trying to tell the committee that if we want to have permanent fund dividend of $1.1 billion, we're going to have to cut $269 million out of the operations of the state?
Mr. Chairman, yes. In order to make the appropriations they have work, they'd need to find $270 million of reductions somewhere.
Yeah. Senator Hoffman wants to volunteer reductions in Bethel.
The other option is to use the CBR vote, but I think that is highly improbable to tap the CBR vote in the Senate.
I would agree. If you could remind the folks at home in the committee the rough balance of the CBR and the recommended target that Ledge Finance has recommended to the committee last year?
Mr. Chairman, at the end of, at the beginning of FY24, based on the ACT for the annual comprehensive financial report, we're estimating that there was $2.5 billion in the CBR at the beginning of FY24. That's actually about $200 million less than what we had estimated before we got the ACFR. It's difficult to project the CBR even when we know what the deficit was, and it turned out to be the deficit. The true deficit was a little higher than we projected based on revenue and lapse. So with a $2.5 billion starting balance, if you don't draw anything in FY24, then you'd see some interest earnings and some new settlements accumulate and get up to $2.7 billion by the beginning of FY25. If you do need to draw as the other body's budget at this point is currently constructed would need, you know, that would eat into that. So, you know, roughly a $2.5 billion starting balance. Generally, we need about $500 million for cash flow, and then an additional amount would be for as a shock absorber. And, you know, we've said before something in the neighborhood of $3 billion for that shock absorber, so $3.5 billion total between the two. And I'd note also that the higher the oil price you're budgeting on, the more you want in your savings as a buffer because you're counting on, you know, more of that volatile revenue. If you balance your budget at a lower oil price, then you could have a smaller cash buffer because there's less room for oil to drop. So if you have a budget that doesn't balance at the projected oil price and of, I think it's up to $78, you know, you're going to need a larger CBR than if you had a budget that balanced $70. So I think that $3.5 billion is probably still in the right ballpark for what we'd recommend as a CBR balance based on the current price of oil.
Okay, so with that message, I think what you're recommending to the Finance Committee is we continue to look to build the CBR up a little bit more than it is, somewhere maybe in at least half a billion or to a billion more than what we have in it, to prepare ourselves for fluctuating oil prices that we know comes like clockwork almost. So I just wanted to point that out to those that are at home and they see a potential small surplus and or these big, you know, almost $300 million deficit. We need to keep an eye on our overall fiscal position and prepare the state for future events. Do we have any other comments from committee members, questions off of the Ledge Finance? I think that concluded the presentation. Mr. Painter?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you for all your work and your colleagues over there at Ledge Finance. They've been very helpful to the Finance Committee throughout the last few months. What we have now in front of us is a committee substitute bill. And Senator Merrig, do you have a suggestion for the committee?
Thank you, Chair Stedman. I move that we adopt committee substitute for for House Bill number 268 Finance at version 33-GH2492/Tango as our working document.
And I'll object for explanation. Do we have any questions or concerns from committee men on this bill? Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of version T as our working document. Do we have further objection? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee report Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 268 Finance, which is 33GH2492/T as in Tanacross, from committee with individual recommendations.
Okay, and conforming changes to the bill as necessary.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I further move that we direct the Division of Legislative Finance and Legislative Legal Services to make technical and conforming changes where necessary.
Thank you. We have a motion to move the bill from committee with individual recommendations and fiscal notes and conforming changes. Do we have any objection to moving the bill from committee? Seeing none, this bill will move from committee to the next committee of referral. Next up mental health bill. Senator Wilson.
Quick eddies.
Brief eddies. Come back on the record. Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 270, Work Draft 33, GH2490, version Y from committee with individual recommendations. And Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee direct Division of Finance, Legislative Finance, and Legislative Legal to make technical and conforming changes to the bill as necessary.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee, version Y, with individual recommendations, attached fiscal notes, and recommended changes from the Division of Legislative Finance and Legislative Legal to make conforming changes. Do we have objection of moving the bill from committee? Seeing none, this bill will move from committee to the next committee or referral. This concludes the meeting today. Our next meeting is at 1:30. It's 1:30 this afternoon. The committee will consider Senate Bill 84, Money Transmission, Virtual Currency. Senate Bill 204, Certificate of Fitness, Plumbers and Electricians. Senate Bill 131, Asian American Pacific Island Program. Senate Bill 28, Workplace Violence Protective Orders. That concludes our meeting this morning. We are adjourned at 10:47. We are adjourned.